Let us sing number 53 in our hymn books, 53. Let us stand as we sing. Those who'd like to join me in standing, please do so.
Come thou, Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father all glorious, for all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend, come and thy people bless, and give thy word success, Spirit of holiness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear, in this glad hour, thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart, and ne'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To the great one in three, eternal praises be, hence evermore his sovereign majesty.
Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. You help us this morning to praise you as we ought, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit come to help us to worship you as we ought, Lord. I want to praise you and give you the glory that is your due. Oh, God, gracious God, gracious God of my salvation, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. So we'll turn the page and sing number 55. 55. Hallelujah.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Once more, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall. Also sing number 1 in our pilgrim camp songbooks. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Anytime anyone feels they must sit down, please, I hope you know that you can sit down or stand up anytime. It's fine. It's okay. Seated.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Glory to the people, for his blood can wash all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Yes,
all your care.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Great.
Oh, Lord. I want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. I've had a little difficulty the last few days, and I didn't even want to come up to camp. I wasn't ready for it. But I came into meeting last night, and I want to publicly thank Brother Paul for playing the organ those 15 minutes before meeting. I sat here listening to that, and the Holy Spirit just ministered to my spirit. I needed to hear from the Lord. My wife knows I went through a trial. Nothing has been resolved to this point as of yet, but the Lord has just come and given me that peace, and I'm looking to him for over this weekend. And I want to encourage anybody here who's come with, like I did, with a load of baggage, drop it. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Encourage yourselves in the Lord, and he will come.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Oh, thank you for your faith.
Your care upon him, casting all your care upon him, casting all.
sweet, my Savior, to repose on thine almighty power, to feel thy strength upholding me through every trying hour. Casting all your care upon him, casting all your care upon him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth, he careth for you.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 praise Jesus, hallelujah, thank you.
I would like to thank the Lord that He does answer our prayers.
Thank
He
the Lord.
Sees our needs, and He cares when we're in trouble. He cares everything about us. And I was just reminded when Brother Petfield spoke about that earlier this summer, we had a little difficulty with our first bus up to camp, and I was out of the country at the time, in constant touch with Sister Lather in the office, but we didn't have any buses for the rest of the season, and we had a small bus. That was the problem, a 25-seater bus, but it didn't have the toilets on it, and it was just a mess. And I was out of the country, as I said, and I was in a place where if I had a few hours, I could have gotten some sun. But I was so upset, and I wish I had more faith and had more peace, but I didn't. It was a big concern to us, and to me in particular. And I came back. I had something lined up, but nothing for the rest of the season. And I was driving back upstate here to camp, and I passed this bus that was just the right size. I said, wow, that's what we need. And it was near a rest area, and I said, I've got to pull in. If he pulls in here, I said, Lord, let him pull in here so I can talk to him. And sure enough, I was ahead of him, and so I waited, and sure enough, he pulled in. And as he pulled in, he was letting a group of ladies off the bus. And so I had already spoken to him from outside, and I opened the door. I said, I'd like to talk to you. And then as the ladies disembarked, one lady said, oh, we love Omar. He's great. We're going to Lake George. And they were all bubbling about this bus driver. And so I spoke to him. I told him that I was from the camp. And he took me inside the bus. And sure enough, it was a 28-seater with a toilet, lots of luggage room. So I said, do you think I could still reserve this for the rest of the summer? He says, well, call the dispatcher. Now, this happened to be a Sunday, and he gave me the number. I went in the parking lot. I called the dispatcher. She gave me prices. She couldn't quite clinch the dates, but I called her the next day, and much cheaper than we had been paying. And it was such a relief to me to think that God orchestrated that. There's no doubt in my mind that the Lord did that. And He cared that I was in distress. It was, whenever I would think about it, for days after that, I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. But the Lord did that, and I'm so thankful for that. He's such a loving God. We cannot comprehend the love and care and concern the Lord has for us. He cares for us, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sorrow.
I'd just like to share, it's good to be in Pilgrim Camp again. It's kind of like one of those things that I look forward to each year. It's a kind of a, it's more than a memorial. I'm trying to think exactly what it would be, but it's the fact that it's there in my mind, whether it's on my calendar or not. I just anticipate it's happening. And I was surprised this year that it was going to be earlier. Made a little change in my calendar and doing things, but I'm glad to be here. As we were singing that song, The Beauty of Holiness, I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, some of you may not know, I'm a director of a sober house now. I pastor a group of men, and I've been talking about 1 Corinthians 15 probably for about 2 months now, and we came on the section of Scripture, and I've been teaching on the fact of the difference between the terrestrial and the celestial bodies. And we all are anticipating resurrection, I'm sure. Looking forward to that. And I asked the question, why can't we have our celestial body now? And the simple answer is we're not ready for it. But then I asked them to give some answers in regard to why aren't we ready? And I've got a degree of difference of our guys that are in our house. They come from ignorance about the Bible, too. I've got one guy that's very knowledgeable and probably could teach as well as I could in the study. But he gave the first response, and he said, because God requires holiness. And I was so dumbfounded that he gave that answer. And that's it exactly, because our spirit is not ready yet. And actually, I started this last Thursday, and I'm going to continue on the fact of the inner life. And God wants to prepare us inwardly so that we will be prepared to experience that change when it happens. In fact, this last Thursday, I talked more about the fact that Jesus said, in the midst of all those signs, he gave them, and then he said, be ready. Okay. And it's interesting because most of the guys in our house, they're very carnal. They're very good worldly in the sense that they know how to do the world. They don't know how to do the spiritual things. And it's a tremendous privilege to be able to do that. But just the realization that I began with some scriptures, like it's not what you that you eat that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you that makes you unclean. And Jesus, again, as the Apostle Paul wrote, said, we know that it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. But as I began reflecting and thinking about, we actually had about an hour discussion, most of which was on the subject of holiness, being holy on the inside. And I am so thankful today that Christ makes us holy. Sometimes I stop and look at myself, and I invite the guys, I say, look inside yourself. What are you like on the inside? And sometimes when I look on the inside, I don't like some of the things that I think, or primarily thinking, because that's what happens. We wind up wrestling with those imaginations and thoughts that come to pull us down on the inside. But I am so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. It was contained there in that song as I sung it again. I'm just so thankful because God shows me greater kindness than I justly deserve. And I'm thankful that he keeps on working in me. I'm thankful he works in all of us. And again, producing, as time goes along, a greater and greater holiness. Yeah, basically, it's like salvation. You can't change what salvation does. But the sanctification process. And it's an ongoing experience. And I thank God that even today I know that process is going on the inside. And I'm thankful that God has helped me to be able to be able to express, again, some of those things that I talk with the guys about. And I am thankful that he deals with all of our lives. And he doesn't snuff us out for any one thought or any moment in our life, but he's continually working. And again, I thank God for his grace. I thank God for being here again. I'm thankful for what he's going to speak into me in my heart and life. My thought was, before I came, I would like to just be a butterfly on the wall and just receive whatever God is saying, you know, because I want to be filled with him. I need more and more of him.
Amen.
Every single day. And I'm thankful that I know that that work that's going to be finished, that's going to prepare me. I know it's there already, but I'm thankful. I know he's going to continue to work. One of my favorite verses in Philippians 1:6, that I am confident that he who began a good work in me is going to keep on working. He's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's hasn't come yet, so he's still going to keep on working in our lives. I'm, again, grateful for that. Grateful to be in Pilgrim Camp another time.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Well, one way that we can be ready, what Brother Wade was talking about, is to, it's in James 1:21, and it's to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That's the King James Version. And that has been so precious to me within the past few weeks since I read that phrase, and I know the Holy Spirit has ministered to my heart through it. But when you're engrafted, you're infused, you have the Word of God in you, it becomes a part of you, it's a living thing, and it's there for healing, it's there for deliverance, it's there for so many things, for comfort, for strength, because it's part of you. It's infused in you, it's engrafted in you. So I thank the Lord for that, and I thank you, Brother Wade. We were so excited to see him last night after service. It was such a delight just to see him, just to come and to see everyone here. And then I'd like to just say something with for what Bob had talked about with the discouragements. There have been many, but God has been so faithful. And even as we're older than most of you here, but we have our struggles. The enemy knows where our weaknesses are, and he goes for them. And this, we have to be aware of this. And sometimes it's difficult. So I just wanted to share that what Bob said is that it's no age. There's no age where the enemy knows who you are and what your weakness is, and he'll try to bring you down. But it's the Word of God. And I'm so glad that Bob and I have each other, that we can uplift and strengthen and encourage one another to come and to be a part of camp, because we love it here.
I'm half Quaker, half Pentecostal. I was raised Pentecostal, and I love Pentecostalism, but my family's historically Quaker. In Quaker meetings, I was a friend's Assemblies of God for a while, but the Quakers made me stop being a member of both groups because they considered Assemblies of God too warlike, but which you can disagree with easily. But it's very difficult to stand up in a meeting like this. It's very, very difficult. It takes so much courage just to stand up and give your testimony. It is so difficult. And I've been in friends' meetings where nothing is said for a whole hour. And maybe something is said at the very end, you know, 10 words. Like what Brother Paul said about that bus. I've heard Brother Paul play the organ for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years here. I never heard him speak before. It's so good to hear him speak about the bus. The last thing I want to say is, if it wasn't for Adeline, I wouldn't be here. She invited me, and she's not an official person that's supposed to invite people. It's extremely important to me to do evangelism. Us four and no more. It's so wonderful to be here in this enclave. But I didn't know about it, and I only live, you know, 7-8 miles away. And because she spoke to me, we've been coming so many times. I've even washed dishes here.
these testimonies about God's being so vitally interested in the little things and the big things that come into our lives, you wonder, we were singing about his greatness, his surpassing greatness. How great is our God? How exalted. We were praising his holiness. And a verse came to my heart when, well, several things came to my heart when Brother Bob spoke, and then the others too now. One was from Psalm 113, where it says, "There's no one like our God. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes." So the thought that comes to me is that God is so high and holy, his name alone is excellent, he is exalted far above the heavens. And the psalmist says he has to humble himself to even look at the heavens. Then earth is lower than the heavens, right? And yet he does. That's the thing. He does. He cares about Brother Bob's need and Brother Paul's need and all of our needs. I quoted from J.C. Ryle, or actually I read last night just a sentence from Bishop Ryle. I love his work called Expository Thoughts on the Gospels, which was written for his people. He was a bishop of an area in England, the Church of England, and he wrote Expository Thoughts on the Gospels for family devotions. And the way it is set up is it takes a paragraph of the Gospels, and then you read that, you know, several verses, and then you read his comments. And usually it's very clearly set up. Point one, first we see this, second we see that, third we see this. And it would just take a few minutes to read aloud if his congregations did that for family devotions, and that was his purpose in writing. But I've been very blessed by having that series. It's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and several places he writes about Jesus. But he writes this about Jesus. Maybe I should say. For instance, I think this is the first place that he writes this. It's in the end of Matthew 4, where it says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them, and large crowds followed him." And Bishop Ryle's comment on that section includes the fact that Jesus is no longer here with us as he was then. And he says, "High in heaven, exalted at the Father's right hand." And he asks this question, can it be that Jesus has any less compassion? Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, has any less interest in the needs of his people? As he sees them, he knows all, and his heart is open. His heart is touched, we read, with the feelings of our infirmities. And he just asks that question, can it be that this has changed because Jesus is seemingly farther removed, which he's not, but he's exalted far above all The idea is, has he forgotten to have compassion? Has he forgotten you and me? Has he looked to other things in his highly exalted position? And of course, Ryle answers that in the negative, that he is just the same today, and his heart is just the same, open to all of us. And Ryle says it in about one-third the amount of words that I just used. So it's quite concise. It's really a blessing. And then the last sentence there is, let us resort to him now. And that just, his writing and his expression is very concise, also impactful. And so he describes the fact, he states the fact that Jesus is the same. His heart is the same towards you as ever it was when he was teaching and preaching and healing here on earth. That heart that was full of compassion when he saw human need, though exalted far above all, it says, there's no change there. And so let us resort to him now. And I thought of that with singing about his holiness, his majesty, how great he is, how he is worthy all praise. Let us give him the glory that is his due. And then it's like we took a step down to the mundane, you know, these daily difficulties. But doing that, it's really not, because it When you think about it, in a way, at least from our perspective, it makes him so much bigger and greater, doesn't it? That he stoops to us, that he's not just in that sphere, but he's with us and caring about us and loving us and meeting us and lifting us, sending us his grace like Havergal has it in her poem about the Ascension, Frances Havergal. Praying for his children in that blessed place, calling them to glory, sending them his grace. Amen.
Let us resort to him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Strength divine, rely on you.
us sing together number 160. That's it. I knew it was in that neighborhood. Sister Lillian, this is for you. Wonderful words of life. And for all of us, let's stand as we sing. Seated. Hallelujah. This is one of those songs that has grown on me over the years. Growing up in church and being in a lot of meetings and Sunday school every week, some songs get a little old, tedious, common, or whatever it might be. I remember one summer here, you know that song, "All for Jesus, All for Jesus, All my being's ransom." Anyway, it has like three lines, the exact same tune, and then one short break. Anyway, I was sure I wasn't too drawn to that song. And near the beginning of the season, my father sings it in the mix. I think this would be a great theme song. We sang that song so many times that summer. And by the end of the summer, I loved it. I catch myself singing it so often inside, you know. And well, there are others. Like I could list many. Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Brother John Munsinger in Sunday school. Oh, boy, he loved those. Loved to tell the story and anything about the Word of God, you know. And we'd sing them again and again. Tell Me the Story of Jesus. We'd sing it for the offering. Then we'd sing it 3 weeks later or 2 weeks. And I love to tell the story. And well, this one that I just mentioned, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, I can hardly sing that anymore without feeling a real melting in my heart. Right on my heart, every word. that always touches me. Tell me the story most precious. And then this one, boy, did we sing this one a lot in Sunday school. Wonderful words of life. And now, when I get to that, let me more of their beauty see. In the first verse, right there, second line, that always becomes a prayer. Let me hear your word. Let me love your word. Let me do your will. Let me see the beauty of the Lord in your precious word. And then this one. Isn't this a great word, wooing, in the second verse? These words are freely given, it says. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. I can't sing that line either without being moved. I love to think that this word is given to me. What a treasure. And that it's meant to woo me to heaven. To win my heart and to woo me to Christ. That I might love him supremely and hear his call and answer it. It's just so precious to me, this song, even this song. Yeah, I hope you liked it when we sang it. Maybe if you didn't, someday you will.